Thank you that we can come together this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit minister to us as we open our heart to you. And the word, Lord, give us both strength and understanding. So, Lord, just quicken our mind and our hearts that we may be able to receive and appropriate everything that you have done for us, Lord. And that we may know, Lord, the power of his resurrection. Through his word, through his truth, and through his anointing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we've been looking at the body, soul, and spirit. And really, we started with understanding the spirit. And we talked about conscience. Conscience is, as I already showed, explained in the last couple of weeks, it's a very important component of our spirit, because without the conscience we can't really discern what is right and what is wrong. See, that the conscience is the part of our spirit that says yes and no about things, that passes judgment on things. It's not the only thing. See, what we have to understand is that all these things cannot really compartmentalized. See, your body is a system, your physical body. So you can take your heart by itself and make it function. Your heart has to be connected with your nervous system and with your circulatory system and everything else. And then when they work together, the whole thing pumps your blood where it needs to be and so on. But it's so connected with the other parts, you cannot say, you know what, the heart is this. You have to look at it in the context, in the, you know, together with all the other parts, because otherwise it's just a piece of flesh. With the same thing about spiritual things. You cannot take your conscience and talk about it without talking about some of the other things, because they're all connected, they're all functions that are all interrelated. The same thing, you know, you talk about your spirit, but you have to talk about your soul and the way it interact with you. You see, everything is interacting. This is why you can take a animal, you know, you dissect it, when it's dead. You can only see some things that are there, but you cannot understand the way it works. So the same thing with spiritual things. You have to see that your conscience work together with other things. So when you talk about some scripture to deal with conscience, it's dealing also with some of the other things that are in your spirit. And really the thing is that understanding your spirit is so important, because that is the part that we have, should have predominance in the believer. See, before the fall, the spirit was the part that ruled Adam, not his soul. His soul was submitted to his spirit. After the fall, what happened is that spirit was dead, separated from God, lost the power, and his soul became predominant, and the body became. You can have different levels of leadership. What God wants to do is that want to get us to the place in which our spirit becomes again the ruler within us, the one that guides us. Okay, if we don't understand the functions, the way it works, and the way it interacts with the other things, it's very difficult for us to do it. And there is no way in the world to see that, because it's a spiritual thing. So it's not based on our senses, and that's the source of our knowledge in this world when we are born. But when we are born again, things should start to change. Then our spirit becomes alive with the power of God, with the life of God. And because of that, then it tries to be in the place where it should be, when instead our soul is protective and wants to keep the position that wants to be. So for the moment, we are not going to talk too much about the soul and the body, but as we talk about the spirit, we are going to have to refer to them, because there is input there from our senses, and there are parallels between all our parts, if you want to call them. And understanding one helps us to understand the others, because to us, a spirit is something that is not natural. Well, it's not natural, it's supernatural. All right? So it's not natural for us to connect with that idea. And so we have to go to the Word of God to realize it's the Word that separates the soul and the spirit. That's what the Word says. So it's only the Word that's going to enable us to see the difference and to be able to relate properly and to reestablish the proper order within ourselves. But for now, we are focusing on the spirit, because it is mostly is the most difficult part for us to understand anyway. So in the spirit, there is conscience, there is intuition, and there is communion with God, communion, a spiritual communion. Okay, there are those three things. We talked about conscience and the importance of conscience, because our conscience is what determines if something is yes or no. There is only, you know, our conscience tells us, this is not good. This is sin. This is the wrong thing. And the other, oh yes, this is the way God thinks. This is right. So, you know, in a way, the conscience, our conscience is the easiest of our spiritual functions, if you want. At the same time, is the critical one, because if our conscience is seared, all the other spiritual functions are going to be messed up, naturally, because that is what determines you, yes or no. And we saw how our conscience becomes seared, and how his conscience becomes cleansed, how there are things that happen within ourselves. Okay, and so this we had to see how that works, and we talked about that. If you weren't there, you can get the recording, but we are going to move now into revelation or intuition, which are the same thing. So intuition or revelation is direct knowledge that comes from the inside. It doesn't come through your mind, doesn't come through your senses, doesn't come just inside you. Sometimes you just know something. Now, it's interesting to realize one thing, that we know things with our spirit, and we understand things with our mind. That distinction is very important for us to be able to discern. The implication of that is that when our mind is not renewed, we are going to have problems picking up what our spirit is actually receiving. You see, everything that we receive through our spirit is a question of knowing in, but it's not logical, but it's there. And then it's transferred to our mind, because this is the conscious, the logical part of us. And if our logical part is messed up by other wrong ideas, when it picks up the information that gets from the spirit, it's going to distort it. It's going to project it. It's going to mess it up. And so we have to understand that. This is why it's so important to renew our mind so that we can actually understand what God is saying. This is why born-again believers, that they can get lots of scripture. This is a big topic. You know, born-again believers, they can start, you know, and there's a real commitment to God and a real excitement, and they don't renew their mind and end up into error, end up into heresy, end up into sin, end up in all these other things, because their mind has not been renewed, and they don't know what to do about that. And so the consequence of that is that that life, that energy, that motivation that comes from inside get distorted and get off a tangent. So we need to understand and to renew our mind. Renewing our mind is the most important thing. See, that's the only way we are going to know, again, knowing. You see, knowledge is of the spirit, you know, and understanding is of the spirit. We are going to know the will of God. And you don't know the will of God not because it's logic, it's because you know it, because you know it, because you know it. When I was born again, you know, I knew in my heart that God wanted to meet in the ministry. I mean, it was the last things in the world that could have been possible. I was a scientist, I spent so much time studying and preparing for things, and I was doing well in the things I was doing. I was the craziest idea that you can ever imagine. So from a logical point of view, it didn't make any sense. You see, the thing is, often what the Spirit speaks to us, what He tells us, is beyond our understanding. And so we cannot really grasp what He's saying. And when we try to interpret it, we interpret it the wrong way, because we see it through our perspective instead of God's perspective. So what He's saying gets distorted by our crooked mentality. Are you following me? So this is very important to understand. The carnal mind has problem operating spiritually. Even if we are born again and spirit-filled. I give you an example that should be really getting this point across. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, you are behind no other places for spiritual gifts. You remember the scripture. It says you are not behind anybody for spiritual gifts. However, was a church that was carnal and had so many problems. That was the only place in which he actually taught more in detail about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they were misusing it, evidently. So the fact that one has this spirit filled doesn't mean that he knows everything, that does everything right, and then that you can trust what's going on. Everything has to be judged, and how do you judge it? Your conscience has to judge it. You see, their conscience wasn't really cleaned up, because their mind wasn't renewed. So they could end up in sin, like when somebody is going with the wife of their father. Do you understand what I'm saying? So just because somebody calls himself a Christian doesn't mean he's walking perfectly. We all are limited in our understanding. We have to be conscious of that, so that we judge ourselves and we learn to judge ourselves. And not only that, but we learn to develop and allow our conscience to grow and to become sensitive. Because this is the most important part in our spirit. If our conscience is not sensitive, then all the other operation of the gifts are going to be inquinated or messed up by our conscience that can't distinguish between right and wrong. When instead, that's the easiest thing that we should be able to do. I mean, you should go inside yourself and know. Because God inside there, if you are born again. If you are not born again, there is no way. Okay? You're going to go according to your indoctrination, to your belief system, and you are really not solid basis. See, our solid basis is our conscience, when we have developed a sensitive conscience and when we are born again, so that we can have discernment in the Spirit, because we can see the kingdom of God. Amen. That's the time when that happens. You see, and that explains all the mistakes and the messes that we can see, even in Christianity, even for people that are in the ministry. Revelation and the working of the Holy Spirit in any area works by intuition or by revelation. Okay, the same thing. Our mind always interprets what happens there. So it's always an interpretation. Our understanding is always limited by our belief system, which is determined by our experiences. But our spirit, if you are born again, and if you are in a relationship with God, knows and guides you, or tries to guide you into all truth, because it's connected with the Holy Spirit. See, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not coming. Our information is not more than information, it's knowledge. Okay? It's not coming from external influences or our physical senses. When we try to make things happen, when we want something and we work toward that, even if it's a spiritual thing, then it's us doing it. This is the mistake that is so common when people try to be spiritual. Because they try to get something going, when instead is God is in control, not you, about what you can do. The way I always use in the sentence, is valid. You cannot pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Is God the one that lifts you up? Is God that builds you up? Is God that strengthens you? Is God that heals you? When we try to do it in our own strength, our soul interfere, and God cannot do any more the things that do it, unless our soul is submitted to our spirit. And it's not an easy thing, I'm not saying. That's why it's a process. And we have to learn. Now, let's explain some things. The spirit has many of the same characteristics, if you want, or senses of our soul. It may sound new to you, but that's what the word shows very clearly. for intuition can produce in you a rejoicing, a grieving of the Holy Spirit that is communicated to you, love, fear, anticipation, approving, condemning, deciding, discerning will. There is a will of God that you have to determine, which is spiritual things that is not your will. You remember Jesus just before was crucified. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. And you can see there. It says to the disciples that were falling asleep, and he was trying there, praying and communicating with God, and says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit in this is willing, but the flesh is weak." I mean, if the spirit is willing, that means that the spirit has a will, and the will is the will of God. But the flesh is weak. Oh, it's a funny way of saying, because actually in us, what I would have said, but the flesh is strong, because generally takes the predominance. What he's saying is that the flesh is weak in resisting temptation, in not being distracted. Are you following me? The flesh, unfortunately, is far too strong for us often to deal with, because it tries to control us. When instead the Spirit wants to control us, God wants to control, the Holy Spirit is inside us just to do that job. I'm going to show you some other scripture to show the different dimension, different characteristics of the Spirit operating. It's very good. In Acts 19:21, Paul was traveling, and it says there, and after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit. You see, purposed in the soul, evidently, the Spirit has a goal, has a purpose, has an intention. See, purpose in his spirit. What? When he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must go and see Rome." So you see, he purposed in his spirit. So evidently, that was coming from his spirit, wasn't coming from his mind of his decision. You know, he felt inside. You say, how do you know that? Well, we're going to talk about that. There are ways. The point is, there is a will. There are many different things that the Spirit, corresponding to all emotions, you know, there are parallel things in our spirit. The Holy Spirit is grieved, and that grieving comes from our spirit to us. And so if we respond to that, we should feel grieved when we feel something, when something is grieving the Holy Spirit. But if we are close, we may even enjoy it. Another one, scripture. The whole Bible is full of this scripture, so I can not cover, and I won't cover all the things, otherwise we'll be here for a year trying to describe the Spirit. I myself, as I've been studying this and meditating on these things, I got new stuff I never had before. You know, I've been teaching this stuff for years. And all the time you read it, and you see it better, you understand it better. It's so exciting. It's so alive. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So you see, you want to learn to connect with the Spirit? Just start to pray in tongues. Because you are activating, you cannot do it through your mind. You don't know. So most of the time, you don't know what's going on unless you get a transfer there to your mind. But when you pray in the Spirit, or when you pray in tongues, evidently that's what he's saying. You see, your spirit is praying. Now, the advantage of that is, number one, that you are exercising your spirit. Otherwise, it can be latent there, doing nothing forever, because you have to get to the place where your spirit is active. And this is a way to activate your spirit. This is why it's so important. I think there is a book that says 49 reasons why you should speak in tongues. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm telling you is the fact that it's important, because that is going to activate your spirit. And so if you want to be a spiritual, if you want to operate in a spiritual way, your spirit has to be developed, strengthened. Jude talks about verse 2. It says very clearly there that by praying in tongues, you edify yourself. Where do you edify? You edify your body? No, you see, your mind doesn't understand, so you're not edifying your mind. But what you edify is your spirit. Let me finish this scripture here. Verse 15 says, "What is the conclusion then? If I pray with the spirit, I'm also praying with the understanding. If I pray with the sing in the spirit, then we see you can sing in the spirit. So another things you can do, just not pray in tongues, but you can pray. Evidently you can pray, but you can pray in tongues even in your language. Or you can pray in your language with the understanding, and you can still pray in the spirit. Okay, you can sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if I bless with the spirit, again, you see, you can bless people. I mean, the only way really to bless people is to bless them with the spirit, because the other part is mental. How will the one who occupies the place of the infirm say amen? Or you're giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For somebody to be able to receive it has to know what you're saying. To summarize this, what I've been saying up to now, we had to learn the source of our intuition. We had to understand the source of the intuition. We acquired that by experience spiritual maturity. As soon as we have more experience, we have to start discerning when was the spirit and when was our mind. We learn as we go through, and we learn by experience, like everything else. That's the way a baby learns. So how do you know when God is speaking to you? Huh? Because he talked to you before. If you talk to me, with me, in the flesh, and we talk to each other, well, after a while you recognize my voice. What Jesus said, you know, my sheep knows my voice. So the idea is that the more we interact, the more we operate in our spirit, the more we activate your spirit, you know, praying in tongues or whatever other things that we are going to see in a while, and the more we are going to be able to discern where it's coming from. Walking in the spirit is something that the Bible talks about. And walking in the spirit is not walking through your understanding, because your understanding is of the mind. So what's going to happen? Well, or mind or soul. That sometime your spirit is saying, do this, and your logic say, you are crazy. Like when I was getting, you know, that to get into the ministry. I mean, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. I had a good job. I was paid well. And suddenly, you know, I just give up everything because I got this crazy idea that the Lord calls me to the ministry. I mean, I took my time. But the thing is, what the Spirit is going to tell us often is going to be contrary to our logic. Because he knows things that our logic does not know. That doesn't mean it's all the time that way. Sometimes, you know, our logic lines up with it, but some other time it won't. Sometimes the Spirit is going to urge you to do certain things that to you don't make any sense. And some other time the Spirit is going to stop you from doing some things that for you are completely logical and is the right thing to do, and even is the Christian thing to do. But that is what your interpretation and your mind tells you, and is not what the Spirit is telling you. So you can't go by that. You have to start recognizing it. We can see that so often in the Bible. Paul was determined to go to Asia. Okay? See, this is the way God intervened. You see, that's why we have to trust God. When we have a direction and we think, okay, according to the word, according to my understanding, the word says, well, you go and preach the gospel, so I'm going to preach the gospel in Asia. That's what Paul said. And that wasn't God's will. So what happened? God stays there and let it happen? No, if you are open, he's going to get across. And what happens? He had a vision. So the Macedonian says, you know, we need you there. And that changes all this plan that he had prepared. So you see, when God wants to change something, if you are open, he's going to get across. He's going to give you a dream. He's going to give you a vision. He's going to give you, he start to communicate to you. He's going to put inside you something that you can really not do. And there are things that happened to me many times. I wanted to do, and make sense to do the certain things, and I could not. I remember when I was getting into the ministry, and I enrolled in a school. And I mean, when I started in a school, I can finish quickly. And I couldn't do one course. My heart was blocked. And I'm glad that I obeyed. Because I'm not being indoctrinated. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is the way we learn. That's the way our relationship is a personal relationship with God. And we have to develop and move into that personal relationship. It's a living God. It's not a theological book. Are you following me? So the urging, the blocking, the things that you come into your spirit, you have to become sensitive to that. You see, in 1 John, John was a very different personality than Paul. Okay, he was much more relaxed and much more loving than Paul, in a way. In his own way. I mean, Paul was loving too. I mean, he gave his life for others, so that's love. But his personality was different, so it was coming across different. If you read John, it gives you some ideas that Paul didn't have in himself. And yeah, for example, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, it says something very important about that, about receiving from God. It said, but if you have an anointing from the Holy One, you will know all things. Hallelujah. He didn't say, if you get a PhD in theology, you're going to know all things. Okay? If you have the anointing. So you see, is that what is going to determine what you discern? The anointing is what is going to tell you. And the anointing is not that you have goosebumps. People get excited and jump around and think that that's the anointing. No, often that's the flesh. It's your reaction to the flesh. You can be completely still and you can hardly keep it because your body can't hold it. Because there is energy. You start. That's why sometimes people get the anointing, they start shaking because the body can't handle high voltage. Amen? And, but verse 27, the same chapter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 10, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught to you, you will abide in him. So you see, you are going to abide in him as the anointings reside in you. I'm saying you have to learn to recognize that anointing in you that is really manifested in many different ways. Maybe your conscience, maybe your revelation, maybe whatever it is. And you have to recognize where the voice is coming from. It's coming from you. He's coming from your mind. He's coming from the devil that is trying to put you off track. He's coming because from the Holy Spirit inside you that communicates to your spirit and he's trying to show you the way to go. How do you find out that? Sometimes by making mistakes. We are human and we can make mistakes. And because we make mistakes doesn't mean that we blotch it. You know, the only thing we have to do, once we make a mistake, you go before God, Lord, I missed it. And he just forgot it before you even say it. Okay? Because he's not stuck with our shortcomings. He is much more broad-minded than our religiosity. Okay, we had to be able to really make that connection with them. It's like if you have a connection with your parents, your father, your mother, and you know that you love them, and you did something really stupid, you go to them, and they're not going to blast at you. They're going to, you say, sorry, it's over. They give you a hug. It's okay. Keep going. Get up. Don't do it next time. But God is the same. It's much bigger than our silly mistakes. Hallelujah. We have a good God. He loves us. And we should. That's why we should love him. It's just a response. When we understand, when we perceive, when we start appreciating the love that he has for us and what he has made available to us, beyond any imagination, the only thing we can do is to love God. It's the natural response. At the same time, one of the things that we had to learn to recognize is where it comes from. You see, we had to understand or recognize the source. Anything that comes from our spirit comes from really the deep inside us. And we had to recognize that depth. What comes from our soul or from our body, it comes from outside, from superficially, either superficially within us or superficially, you know, or from our senses. And you have to start recognizing that difference. Start recognizing where it's coming from. And when it's demonic, when it's coming from the devil, it's actually more external to you. Because it's unless it penetrated in your mind and is there, when it's just trying to tempt you to do something from the outside, you know that it's from the outside. You see that the pressure that's coming onto you. Am I helping you? In 1 John 4:4, again, 1 John, you see, this is why John has a lot of experience in this. He's the guy that actually died the oldest of the all the apostles. Why? Because he was so connected with God, it was like almost like Jesus. You know one of the characteristics of Jesus' walk on earth? He never needed anything. He always, no matter what the situation is, he was the master of it. And even when people were trying to attack him and try to kill him, the only thing he didn't need any protection. He just walked through them. He was protected. He had everything. To me, John was a bit that way too. Because if you look at the history, his life, first of all, he died the oldest of them all. And even when they were trying to kill him, and they put him on a boiling oil, they pulled him out and was not touched. Isn't that the same as Jesus? Yes. Just to see that that was possible for somebody because he walked in the Spirit, it should get us excited. It should get us going because, you know, if it's possible for him, you are not any different. Learn to walk the way he walked and you can get the same results. God has no preferences. Everybody's the same. It depends where we are in our spiritual walk. And that means all things are possible. Hallelujah. Do you get anything today? Yes. See, this is such an exciting topic. And we are just scratching the surface. You know, I mean, there is so much about this understanding about the Spirit because it's the things that we understand least. Psychologists talk about the mind. We can read some book in psychology, find out some things about awareness or other things. And there are some things that this is what we can expect. Well, that's what we should expect. That's what we have to move on. So let's make a confession together today. The thing is, we have to appropriate the truth that we learn. First we appropriate them, and then we walk by them. Because it's not just a question of repeating a sentence. It's a question that we start to believe it and we start to see it, how to put it to work in our life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that we can come before you today to receive the things that we have learned. We just thank you, Lord, that we understand better about your Spirit. Lord, what is there and what is given to us and what the Holy Spirit is going to communicate to us. The anointing that is in us is greater than we can ever imagine. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to understand, even in our mind, the things we need to know. God's presence in us guides us by the anointing to all truth, to all freedom, to all victory, through what Jesus has done, through his blood, through his victory, and through his resurrection. His resurrection is our resurrection in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See, this is why baptism is so important. We have to understand that we are baptized, we come out of the water, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, and we have to appropriate that truth.